This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you for till 2 o'clock to talk sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. We'll be with you until 2 o'clock. We're going to talk with, we've got several outstanding guests to talk with you today. We'll talk with Tom Markowski from the Detroit News. Also, we'll chat with Coach Luke Paul of Pewamo Westphalia, who's in there for the state in the quarterfinals today. And we'll also talk with head coach Tom Anastas about the Michigan State hockey team. So we've got a lot of guests for you, and we'll cover a lot of things for you right here on AM 870 WKAR. So we want you to stick with us for the full hour and talk sports. If you have questions, you can call us up and ask our guests some questions, and we'll do that as well. Also, we want to let you know that Matt Costello, coming to Michigan State University, won Mr. Basketball yesterday. He was the leading vote getter, and then Denzel Valentine finished second to him. So congratulations to Matt Costello, the incoming Michigan State center, Mr. Basketball winner of this year. And also the second place, the runner-up, Denzel Valentine, who's still on in the state tournament and heading towards hopefully another state championship right here in the mid-Michigan area. So we hope to do both those things. Now, when we get to Tom Markowski, we'll talk about several things in the state of Michigan today and about the quarterfinals taking place all across the state of Michigan, get his insight on those teams, and we will see what he has to say about that. So give us a call right here on AM 870, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, let's see if we got our guest, Tom Markowski, and we'll see if we got him in here. Hey, Tom, how you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. Hey. How you doing, Earl?
Hey, doing good. Getting ready for the state championship in the quarterfinals round. This is one of the most exciting rounds you get to, probably the most exciting before the teams get to Breslin Arena. Tom, we have three teams from the mid-Michigan area are in the quarterfinals: Okemos, Lansing Sexton, and Pewamo Westphalia. We assume that Lansing Sexton will move on to Breslin Arena, but what of the other two, or do you think both of them will make it that far?
Well, I think you got one slam dunk with Sexton. I think you got a tight ball game with Okemos and Rockford, and PW, I don't know. It's going to be tough. Schoolcraft is really good. They do have four losses, but I take into account that they probably played a tougher schedule than PW. But there's really no common opponent that I could see. So I don't know. Could be a toss up. I have to go with the defending champs in that game.
Yeah, that will be a tough for a team. Boy, if you're Pewamo Westphalia, you're coming into a game undefeated all year long, and now you're meeting the defending state champion. That is a new, unique situation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. PW probably hasn't found itself in this position very often, and they can make some noise. They can make people take notice of the program, and you knock off the defending champs right there, and he gets the Breslin Center. That's like two for the price of one, isn't it?
Yes, that's for sure. And what about Sexton? How do you feel about them? I mean, we all believe that it's almost a given. I guess what the only tough opponent coming up may be Country Day, but other than that, does it look like they can make it through those three, including Country Day?
Yeah, you kind of read my mind with that one. Muskegon Heights isn't that strong this year, and I think they might have a tough game with Cadillac. That's what I kind of favor the Heights in that one, but I still think they could get beat by Cadillac. But heading back to Sexton, no, it's one of those situations where I think it's all theirs as long as they don't, get selfish with saving that. I don't think they will get to that point, and I don't think Carleton will let them or allow them to get selfish. But No, Country Day would be a good game. Country Day's played some good games this year, but their best players are underclassmen, so you would think Sexton in a game like that, when their experience would take over.
Yes, I know around here a lot of us are surprised that Okemos has made it that far, but they're certainly there. Can Okemos win this one and go further?
Yeah, I like them in this game against Rockford, but you know, Rockford's defense is, I think, quite unique. They've given up over 50 points just once this year, and that was in a quadruple overtime game. So for all practical purposes, they haven't allowed over 50 points in the game. So, you know, Chris Harrison Dox is going to have to be patient. The whole team will have to be patient because, you know, Rockford's going to slow things down and make it a deliberate game. Yeah, I like them in the game, but, hey, that's a toss-up. It really is. Can they go further? No, I think this is the best they can do is get to the semis. I see the winner of Pershing and Romulus getting past the semifinal round into the finals against Saginaw. So that's I think that's kind of, no offense to the other teams involved, but I think that's the way the script is going to be played out.
Hey, Tom, I mean, we've talked about, I know I've talked about all year long how strong the Mid-Michigan area is in basketball this year. With three teams in the quarterfinals, does that reflect on the strength of the Mid-Michigan area basketball?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't think it does. I think they were better than the three they have there. It just so happens that, you know, through the districts and regionals, they knock each other out. I mean, where's Lansing Eastern? Where's East Lansing? And it's just unfortunate that they have to go through, you know, even in Class D, where's Fulton? So there's a lot of, you know, really good teams in the Mid-Michigan, and it's just unfortunate that, you know, just the way it works. Regionally, you knock each other out. I mean, there's something to be proud of, don't get me wrong. I just think there was a stronger area, and you know, there's a lot of really good teams in the Lansing area that are either planning their AAU trips or going out for the track team.
Yes, we've talked about that before. I mean, this year has been pretty unique. Or actually, these last few years of talking about the relative strength of the Mid-Michigan area in basketball, boys and the girls, you know, just finished last week, and you know we thought the girls might be a little stronger, but it looked like they were just okay this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those things go in cycles. We talked about that before. This is one of those things. And this was a strong year for the boys, and who knows, and the girls might be stronger next year. So you never know.
Hey, many people believe, of course, in this area, that Denzel Valentine should have been named Mr. Basketball instead of Matt Costello. Can you make a case for Valentine for being Mr. Basketball?
Yeah, I wrote a story on that, that he's the best player on the best team. So, you know, you can make a case that he's a more versatile player, but you know, Matt had to do a lot more than Denzel. Take Denzel off that team, and I think Sexton's pretty good. Take Matt off that team, and they might go 5-15. So, and that being said, it's sometimes apples and oranges, where you have Matt playing mostly inside and a 6'10" or whatever he is, 6'9½, 245-pound kid, and you got Denzel, who's, you know, 6'4" and kind of lanky and stringy and. You know, he has some, you know, defined muscles in his upper part of his body, but he's more of your, you know, I like to do a lot at Oakland. I like Denzel. I think they're very pure basketball players. And that comes from their daddy. You know, they're all around players. Yeah, you can make a case for him, but, you know, I told Matt, and it's no big deal against Denzel. I think he's a great player. I told Matt they got it right this year, the BCAM voters.
Yes, that's good. I mean, Matt did have a strong year, and Denzel did as well. When they both get to the college level, would you say that Matt probably has the bigger adjustment? I mean, Denzel's played guard most of his life, guard forward. Probably won't be that big of an adjustment for him. But Costello, you know, being a center or being a post player or will be put in there, he's got to go up against other big guys where he probably hasn't seen many guys that big in his high school career, has he?
No, he probably hasn't. Only in AAU, and you know, last year he had another player on his team that he was playing at the D2 level now. So, no, he probably hasn't. I think that's what you just said there is possibly true. But I'm thinking because you know I think they might use Matt more quickly than they might use Denzel. That's just my feeling. I think Denzel can, you know, it gives Tom Izzo a lot of options. You know, they can stick him at the two if they want to, you know, go defensive. You know, Denzel's not a great shooter, but he's a good ball handler, a good passer, sees the court well and plays defense well. So there's a lot of pluses there. And he can put him at the small forward, too, if he, you know, wants to go small and use basically what would be a three-guard system. I like them both. Matt's going to have some big adjustments. I asked him that question yesterday, and he said the biggest adjustment will be, you know, just, you know, the rugged play of the Big Ten. You know, you go against Wisconsin and Ohio State and the people like that, and you're going to get knocked off the ball, and you won't be hearing the whistle either. So you got to get your strength up there and learn how to bang. And I like the way he put it. He's a very intelligent basketball player. He says you got to learn how to bang and not make a foul, meaning you can always have contact with the players inside, but you got to learn how to make contact and not draw a foul. So there's an art to it, and he's got a lot to learn, but he's got a good base to start with.
Yes, he does. He's coming. He's got a very good base. You're right to start with, and he's going to be looked at highly. And you know, Tom Izzo he'll get playing time. I mean, he's going to be behind, of course, Payne and Knicks, who are probably you know, just a couple of years ahead of him. But he'll learn a lot from those guys. That's one thing. They do help each other a lot here. So I expect we'll probably see. You're probably right about Costello. He'll probably be in the playing mix sometime next year, whether it's at the beginning of the year or near the end of the year.
You know, he got to go with more than just two big guys. And, you know, he gives those guys, you know, contain. You know, I saw Payne shoot the 12-footer the other day, which is good, yeah. But, you know, Knicks doesn't often take the ball out that time. Matt Costello can shoot the 15, 17-footer. That gives him another dimension with a big player. You don't have that right.
Yes, and that's unique. We see more and more of that in college basketball. Big guys stepping outside, making that shot. You know, it's funny how the evolution of this game, as you know, Tom, it used to be, you know, you couldn't get the guys out past the free throw line. I mean, they always were in the paint. They were instructed to stay down there. Now they can come out to the 3-point line and shoot shots. The game for the big men has really expanded a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday, you know, in the interview area, that, you know, some of the coaches, Chris Watts over at Bay City Western and a number of other people that were there, that the game, like you just said earlier, has changed, and players like Matt Costello have, you know, have to be a more well-rounded game. They can't be limited and say, okay, I'm a post player, I will stay on the block. You have to learn how to handle the ball. And, you know, I know Draymond Green's perhaps not as good as an example because his height isn't as what we're talking about here. But, you know, Draymond had to do a lot of things in high school. He didn't have to take the ball outside, but he did. But, you know, he was so darn big. He dominated near the paint. And for what it's worth, it's nice to see, you know, Draymond do real well. Everybody in the state should be proud of what he's done.
Yes, and, you know, for a long time, I'm starting to hear a lot now about Draymond making it on the next level. What's your thought? Do you think he can make it on the next level?
Oh, yeah. But it has to be, you know, we talked about that, too. It's funny. Yeah. We were talking basketball left and right yesterday. But, you know, Draymond has to get on the right team. He can't, that's a strong word. It'd be better off for him not to be on a team that gets up and down, a real, you know, a fast-paced NBA team. You know, one more geared to Keith Appling style. Keith can get to the basket real quick, and I know there's a big difference in size there, but I'm talking about quickness. I think Draymond would fit into a number of systems out there, but it has to be the right fit. And as long as the right fit, I think he can excel, actually, at the next level. Some people are surprised at how well he's playing now in the college level after watching him in college or in high school. Not me. When I saw him as a junior, I said, this kid's good. Play. I don't know what people were looking at, but, you know, no big deal. I thought Draymond would be a great college player, and I think he'll be at least a good professional player because he knows the game, passes it so well. And he's a leader. He's a talker. He knows the game and does all the right things. He'd be a marvelous teammate. So I think he'll make it.
Okay. Hey, Tom, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I know I'll see you this weekend at the state championship games, buddy.
Thanks. Thanks, Earl, for having me on. I'll see you this weekend. Thanks.
Okie dokie. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Prep Editor Tom Markowski from the Detroit News with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Last month, Rob Gifford of The Economist described something really interesting about Chinese politics.
It all looks rather smooth on the surface, but it's seething underneath.
I'm Neil Conan. After dramatic event at the Communist Party Congress, Rob Gifford returns. Plus, actor Wendell Pierce on his venture into the grocery business. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The mid-Michigan heat wave continues. 85 degrees should be our high today with mostly sunny skies. Then partly cloudy tonight with some patchy fog after midnight, a low in the upper 50s. The fog hangs around early Wednesday morning, then burns off to become a mostly sunny day with highs again in the mid-80s. Then partly sunny with a chance of rain on Thursday, highs in the upper 70s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open to 355-9527 or toll-free 877-952-7870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, now let's turn our attention to college hockey with head coach Tom Manassas of Michigan State. And, Coach, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Hey, doing fine. And congratulations for you making it to the NC2A tournament. I know you've got to be awfully proud of that, especially in your first year of coaching.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. We are very excited about it and very proud of our players. They did a terrific job finding a way to work through a very difficult schedule and position us so we have a chance. So very happy about it.
Well, tell us about your first-round opponent there, Union of New York. How do you plan on attacking them?
Well, Union is a team that has a lot of experience on their team. They're comprised of older players. They really have good balance to their game. They led the country in team defense, and yet they're a very good offensive team. They're in amongst the top five in the country offensively, and they have a very good power play unit as well. And so their defense feeds their offense, and they're very difficult to play against. They're a very patient team. They don't make many mistakes, and they play and take advantage of what the game gives them. So that's a tough team to play against, especially with their experience and their size and strength. So, we've played teams in our league that have prepared us for that. I'd say Notre Dame plays a lot like that, and Ferris State plays a lot like that. And so, we're anxious to play them, but we know that they're a very, very good team.
Yes, Tom, that brought up a question for me here talking about them because, as you say, Union New York, they have a lot of older players, and a lot of the older players they're coming in after they played in juniors and such. They might be in their mid-early 20s like that before they decide to come to college, and most of the college players from most states are out of high school. Is that a bigger advantage or is that an unfair advantage with college teams being able to pick up players in their mid-20s to play for 4 years?
It certainly presents a new dynamic to college athletics for sure. It seems like college sports, or college hockey anyway, has gotten older and older. And a school like Union who – their only Division I sports is men's ice hockey. I don't know if they're Division II or Division III school, but this is the only sport they play Division I in. And, that's a formula many of the smaller schools in particular use, is to identify older kids who are more mature and stronger and maybe a little bigger and, compete against teams that maybe they don't feel they have the access in getting some of the skill of some of the more highly touted younger players. And so you've seen that not just with their team, but with many teams now in college hockey. So the average freshman entry age of a college hockey player today is now 20 years old. So that means, for Tanner Sorensen on our team who came here as an 18-year-old, that means on average he's playing against kids about 22 years old and in many, many cases 23 or 24 years old. And so, the game has changed in that regard, and that's just the way it is. So we have to be prepared to deal with it.
Yes, because Ferris State was one of those teams like that who had a great, great year in the CCHA.
Yes, they did. They had a real good year. And, again, very similar concept that, many of these the players that they have, were not considered – you know, maybe NHL prospects when they were recruited, yet have developed into very good players, and they came in at a little older age with a little more maturity, and they're very effective and very good college hockey players. And so those teams are doing a very good job, and it presents challenges for sure when you do have some younger players. But that's the unique thing about our team. Our team has a balance of some younger guys and certainly has some upperclassmen who are a little bit older. I think in our challenge with Union College is they've been there before. Their team last year was in the NCAA tournament, and they lost the first-round game. So they do have some experience to build off of. Our team, we don't have a player who has a game of NCAA tournament experience, so this will be a first experience for all our guys. And, you know, I'm sure we'll learn lots from it, but we have to be ready to try to find a way to win on Friday night.
Yes, that's one of the questions that you'll have to answer, or they'll be posed to you. When you're playing a team like that who you know is a little older, more experienced, is there some kind of way you want to attack them, or do you just do a regular game plan?
Well, we're gonna play how we feel we're best at playing, and we're not gonna make any real major or significant adjustments to try to accommodate their team. They're a good team, and they do what they do very well. And I think what we have to do is obviously be conscious of that. Yet at the same time, we've found that when we focus on our game and do the things that we do well, that gives us the best chance to be very competitive and win the game. So we'll have the majority of our time in preparation this week and even in our game plan to focus on, you know, what we do well and how we play the best. And with regard to dealing with the fact that we don't really have any NCAA experience, what we're trying to, you know, convince our guys to do is to say, hey, listen, I don't want you to go into this game thinking about making mistakes. Mistakes are going to happen. Just go play, and go play hard. And usually the harder you play, the more easily you're able to overcome mistakes. And so I think if we can get that through to guys and get through maybe the early portion of the game, the lack of experience we have in that tournament play won't be as meaningful.
Well, you've got one outstanding player, the defenseman, defensive player of the year in the CCHA, Torrey Krug. Talk about him and what he brings to the table.
Well, you know, I guess for your listening audience who isn't familiar with our team, Torrey Krug in many ways is our Draymond Green. He's a terrific player. He's, you know, he was the player of the year in the CCHA. He was also voted the best offensive player or offensive defenseman. He won the league scoring championship, which hasn't been done since 1986 by a defenseman. And yet I think he's a terrific defensive player as well. He competes real hard. He's very reliable. And he's just an excellent team leader and teammate. So in many ways, when I hear and see all that's said and written about Draymond Green, much the same way could be said and talked about in Torrey Krug.
Yes, and when you talk about this team, is he a similar leader like Draymond Green is able to carry his team or help them play even better than what they are?
I do believe that he does, and that's a very difficult thing in our sport. You know, in basketball, a player can be on the court for an awfully long time of that 40 minutes, and I don't know how much, you know, a top player plays, but in our game, that's a lot more difficult, and yet, you know, in a 60-minute game, Torrey Krug's averaging probably about 30 minutes a night, and so he plays a lot. He has, in many ways, helped our team probably achieve levels that you know, many didn't expect us to achieve, and a lot has to do with, you know, how well he's played. And, you know, a sign of a really top player, you can be a good player, but great players make players around them better, and I think Torrey does that.
Hey, Tom, now you don't have, I know you, everyone says, you know, you have first, second, and third lines, but you don't really subscribe to that philosophy. You just have really good lines, actually, on each one. You don't really subscribe to that one, two, three, or four lines, do you?
Well, you know, I guess it depends, What I try to do ideally is play a very high tempo game, and to do that you need everybody playing as much as possible. And so as a result, you try to have a balance amongst your four lines and your three pair of defensemen so you can maintain a high tempo. And so different lines play different ways. You don't have everybody playing in a similar way. You're kind of bringing guys together with different skill sets. So it depending on what you're trying to achieve. You know, some of our lines probably have more likelihood to score to score more regularly, where other lines are probably much better in defensive situations or able to defend against the top line of the other team, or maybe our line when you're trying to hold off a team from scoring a goal late in the game, you know, they're in that situation. So, you know, people use the 1-2-3-4 or the top line or whatever, and I think that depending upon the circumstances, certainly there is a line that you would go to, but when the circumstances change, the line might be different.
Yes, Tom, how do you feel about how your team finished this year after your first year of coaching? How do you feel that your team did this year?
Well, up until this point, I don't want to talk about the past because I sure hope we still have a few weeks of hockey left here. But, you know, up until this point, I think, you know, we're very pleased with our progress. You know, there's two parts of it that we've really given lots of thought to. One was, you know, making this team achieve as much as we could possibly achieve, and at the same time, we're trying to, you know, rebuild our program and lay down some fundamentals that will transcend, you know, well into the future. And so I think on both fronts we've made big strides and big progress, and I credit the kids for doing that because, number one, they embrace change, and number two, they've given so much effort to try to do anything that the coaching staff has asked them to do. So, you know, up until this point, we think, given that we've had the second most difficult schedule in all of college hockey, and we found our way into the NCAA tournament, I think those are achievements that, you know, we feel pretty good about, and yet at the same time, we're not even remotely satisfied because we definitely want to make more progress.
Yeah, so that's for sure. And, of course, that progress will start with Union of New York coming up this weekend, and you've laid out a good case, you know, how you can attack them and maybe even beat them. But when you look at this New York team, what do you say are their real strong strengths where it's going to be hard for you to match up against them?
Well, I think their biggest strength, their goaltending is really good, and they're able to really defend well around their goaltender, and that's a pretty difficult combination. And, you know, during the course of the season, we've struggled with that a little bit on teams who played like that. So we're going to have to figure a way to manufacture some goals in that regard. And on the other side, offensively, their power play is real good. They have a few players who have a number of power play goals. They really move the puck around well. They have lots of confidence. Their power play is in the top 10 in the country. So, you know, that'll be a good challenge for us, and special teams is always an important part of, you know, tournament-type play. And so we're spending a lot of time trying to get our special teams ready for this weekend.
Tom, I know we talked about earlier in the season and sometime during the season about the speed. How do you feel is the speed of your team, or do you think you still need to get faster? Because I know we've talked about the recruiting quite a few times, but how do you feel about the speed of your team, and is it pretty much where you'd like it to be?
I think our team's speed is actually pretty darn good. From a skating perspective, there's three, I really feel there's three fundamentals to creating speed in our sport. One is your skating ability, which I think ours is real good. Number two is your decision-making, which is something that comes with high skill and talent and what I call hockey IQ. And then third is puck movement, your ability to move the puck and move it crisply and to the right spot. And those are the three things that really create speed and tempo in the game. I think overall, you know, we're fairly decent at that. Our skating speed is certainly very strong. I think those other two areas are areas that we're going to continue to try to improve in increasing our hockey intellect as well as, you know, our individual skills and talent level over the course of time. But I'm real pleased with how our players, you know, have responded and how hard they play and how they've embraced, you know, the style of play, a very attacking style of play that we've, you know, tried to implement here. And, you know, I think speed-wise, anybody in this tournament, I'm really comfortable that we could play with anybody in that regard. It's where we get and have to find ways to face the challenge is when we just get overmatched in size against almost every team we play. We're a pretty small team, so we have to rely on our skill and our puck movement ability and our smarts to be able to deal with that.
Okay, Coach. Well, hey, best of luck to you this weekend. Hope you can get that first round win and move on in the tournament. But best of luck to you and the Spartans, Coach, and we'll talk to you a little bit later on.
All right. Well, listen, thanks very much, and thanks for having me.
Okay, thank you, Coach. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's Head Coach Tom Anastas of the Michigan State Spartans. They're getting ready to take off and play Union of New York, a very, very tough opponent. The time, 35 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. And we want to tell you that just in case you hadn't heard, Peyton Manning is now officially a Denver Bronco. He signed a 5-year, $96 million contract. Boy, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of zeros behind that 9-6. And so we want to congratulate Peyton Manning for getting that huge, huge contract. Also, we want to have a very sad ending to a 14-year career. Hines Ward is retiring from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was going to try to play on and try to maybe go another couple of years, but after 14 years, and he holds every record in the Steelers playbook and all the records for a Steeler receiver. He was down basically to fourth string, played very little last year, and Pittsburgh had no room for Hines Ward this year. But he had wanted to play. He said he was going to play, but then he decided to retire a Pittsburgh Steeler. So Hines Ward finished his career after 14 years in the league, and Hines Ward, one of the strongest players around. He was quite a load for anybody to handle during his playing years, that's for sure. Hines Ward is only two receivers in NFL history that's caught over 1,000 passes in their career and had multiple Super Bowl championships, Jerry Rice and Hines Ward. Jerry Rice, over 1,000 catches, and so is Hines Ward. So one day, I think it's safe to say, we'll see Hines Ward in the Hall of Fame. There are a lot of, boy, that's one thing. When you look at the Hall of Fame and guys who can go in, there are so many good receivers that are eligible to go in the Hall of Fame. And we're going to see some of the top receivers in the game in the next few years going in. But boy, he's going to be one of them. There's no doubt that he will get in eventually. Don't know if he'll be a first-team Hall of Famer, but he certainly will be getting in one day. The time, 38 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. We want you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
This month's shooting rampage in Afghanistan raises more questions than it answers, including how the military decides who's healthy and fit for duty and who's not. I'm Neil Conan, the military and mental health, plus the Iditarod winner who beat out his dad and his grandfather. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Mostly sunny skies today, a high around 85. Partly cloudy tonight with some patchy fog after midnight and lows in the upper 50s. The fog hangs around early on Wednesday morning, then burns off to become mostly sunny and a high in the mid-80s. Then partly sunny on Thursday, there is a chance for showers and thunderstorms. A little bit cooler, a high in the upper 70s.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we'll come back and tell you a little bit more. Hopefully, get that weather forecast on for you. And we're going to talk with head coach Luke Pohl of the Pauma Westphalia, and they've got a game tonight against the defending state champion Schoolcraft. So let's bring in Luke Pohl. And coach, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, good. Glad to talk with you and have you on the program today. You've got a tough game against the defending state champion. How will you attack them?
Well, you know, you never change anything when you go in. We've been pretty successful with what we've been doing. And we think we can really get after him defensively.
And, of course, that's the way you hang your hat on. But it's sort of a unique situation, isn't it, coaches? You're unbeaten, haven't lost. Schoolcraft's coming into this game with four losses, and they're the defending state champion. That makes it a little bit unique, doesn't it? Because rarely would you play a defending state champion even at this late date.
Well, you know, the thing is their best player was out for a number of those losses. I don't know if it was two or three. So actually, I know for sure there was one that he played that they lost. So their record certainly would have been better if he hadn't been hurt. Luke Reiskamp, you know, averaging 23 points a game for him. So, we just feel we match up really well with them, and our guys are really looking forward to playing.
Yes. Now, you've probably read the papers. You probably see that some of the major papers both favor them to win. So if you have, what will you bring that up? Will that it all be a difference, or something you say, how no one's giving you a chance? Do you take that kind of attitude that, you know, we're the underdog and against this team?
Well, we really haven't used that all year long. I've got a special group of players, especially some of the seniors, that they just compete so hard anyway. They know what they want to accomplish going forward, and, they're going to bring it anyway. And I'm sure they read the paper, and maybe they get into those kind of things, but I really don't discuss it with them.
And, with them, with your team, as you said, playing defense, is that the strength of your team? As you know, sometimes, especially in high school, it's awfully hard to get kids to concentrate more on the defensive end as opposed to the offensive end.
Well, it is, but, you know, we spend a lot of time with it all season long and in all of our programs. And, I've got a special group of seniors of six kids, and these guys have been working their tail off all season long, and it's almost as if every game they seem to be able to play even a little harder, which to me, when I look out there, seems almost hard to believe, because they've been playing their butts off, especially through this tournament.
Is that unique that the majority of those guys, of your guys, played football and didn't transfer over to play basketball? Is that probably a lot of it, or why they're playing so hard and playing so tough, as you say, because they were starting out and had a lot of success on football season?
Well, you know, we got 12 guys on our team, and only five of them played football, so... You know, I don't know how much that really has to do with it. All I know is, as a group of 12, these people compete very hard, and obviously some of the kids we did get off the football team are very good competitors.
Yes, and what do you say to those young men who, you know, they've competed hard on the football field, competed hard for the ones that just love to play basketball, and as you say, they've come together as a team. What does that say about the players coming together so well as a team from football and basketball? Sometimes, as you know, that doesn't happen, but it certainly happened for you.
Well, again, you know, I hate to reiterate the point, but it has to do with the seniors that I have. I've got six seniors, two juniors, and four sophomores that played with us through the first 20 games of the year, and then, of course, I brought up three sophomores for the tournament. But these guys have been as close as any group that I've ever had, and I think it just speaks volumes for the seniors that I have on the team, because some of these seniors have had to give up some playing time to some of those younger players, but you would never know it by their attitudes. They're just ready to go, and they'll do anything I ask of them. So I just can't say enough about them.
Yes, senior leadership is so important. We're learning that even more and so out here with Draymond Green here, of course, at Michigan State, how important that leadership it does. On the high school level, and for you, what does senior leadership do for the team and bring to the table for all the players?
Well, you know, the thing is I think you could draw a similarity, and I'm sure you could talk to Coach Izzo about it, and he would agree, is, you know, if you look at what Michigan State did last year compared to what they're doing this year, you know, obviously that team this year that they have is much more together. And like as you said, Draymond Green has done a great job with his leadership, as has Austin Thornton. That makes such a big difference in a team, is to get that great leadership. It doesn't really have so much to do with talented players unless they can mesh together and they can have great leadership on a team. And that is what pushes teams forward to do things that you normally wouldn't think they would be capable of doing.
And that certainly is a big advantage for you. When you look at the Class C rankings, when you look at the teams in the quarterfinals, how do you see, or do you look ahead and see how you would match up if this team win and such? Do you look at the teams that you will probably face, or you think that you might face in the future?
Well, you know, the thing is with Schoolcraft, for instance, I happened to go watch them play in January live, thinking that they might possibly get to the quarterfinal, and I was obviously hoping that we could get there also. So that's worked out pretty well for us. But in the tournament, things move so quickly, and our scouting has been a little bit more difficult because of the distance people have had to drive to do it. I've got a guy on the east side tonight that will scout the River Rouge Beecher game, and I hope I can use that scout, because if we're using it, obviously we're moving forward. But you just try to gather as much information as you can, but all you can do is play that game that you're playing tonight and then move on to the next one, hopefully, if you're still in it.
Yes. How difficult is that to get other film from schools, especially in high school? It isn't like college where, they exchange films. So I imagine it's a lot more difficult in high school, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it certainly is. You know, I had to have a guy go to Michigan Center to film and a guy go down to Bangor to film. So that's down near the border almost to Benton Harbor. But we've got some great people in our community, and actually the boy I send down to film there is my godson, and he'll seem to go anywhere I tell him. So I've been really fortunate with that.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, the Mr. Basketball voting came out with the winner being Matt Costello, who's coming here to Michigan State, and Denzel Valentine coming up second. What's your thoughts on Mr. Basketball and who won, or do you think that maybe Denzel Valentine maybe should have won it?
Well, I haven't seen either person play. There's just so many good players that could possibly win that, and I'm sure Denzel had a tremendous season, and he's playing on a great team. But also the boy from Eastern seemed to put up some tremendous stats.
Yes.
But I see that he wasn't mentioned in there. So, they could pick from a number of different guys, and I'm sure they would get a really good one for that award.
Yes. Also, I wanted to talk to you about the relative strengths of the Mid-Michigan area basketball. It's been said that this was one of the better years for basketball in the Mid-Michigan area. I talked with Tom Markowski, editor of the Detroit News, and he talked about how it was strong, especially in boys basketball. For you, how strong was your conference playing that you were playing in for the year?
Well, our conference was very good again. You take a team like Lanesburg, who was in our district, could have won a regional someplace if we hadn't been in the same district. They were very good. Fulton Middleton had a very good year with their people coming back from their state championship runner-up game from last year. And Bath was real solid. I mean, it was pretty solid from top to bottom. And our league is always very tough. People really get after each other for a CD league, and it's always a real honor to win it. And if you look around the Lansing area, I don't remember it being this strong. And I'm 53 years old now, so I remember the days of Magic Johnson and all those other guys. This was about as strong as it's probably been in a lot of years. I mean, geez, oh, Pete, Okemos is having a great run there. Obviously, Sexton is very good. Lansing Waverly was good. Lansing Eastern, East Lansing, Lansing Catholic Central. You know, you can just go on and on with teams that had great seasons. So it was, it had been a great year.
Yes, it has, Mid-Michigan area basketball. And it's funny, it's really gotten a lot stronger these last two or three years. Talking with Markowski and, of course, Mick McCabe from time to time, it goes in cycles, doesn't it? Some years you're stronger, some years you're weaker. But it just seems like Mid-Michigan area has probably been pretty strong for at least the last three or four years.
Oh, definitely. I think it's been strong for a lot of years. If you just go back maybe in the, you know, the last 10 years and look at the people that have played either in the Final Fours in each division or have won state championships, I think it says a lot for a small area around Lansing. It's very good basketball.
Yes, it is. Coach, before I let you go, let's talk again. Your matchup tonight against Schoolcraft, and you talked about how you may attack them, but let's go over it one more time. How you plan to attack and beat the defending state champions?
Well, you know, our guys are, we're really going to get after them defensively, and I think we can put some pressure on their guys. I think our guys are real solid fundamentally defensively, where people have to make great plays to score on us. And I like our depth going into the ball game because we've got a number of people that we can play. I think offensively we'll be fine because we've got a number of different weapons. But, you know, all the work has been done as far as preparing for them, and now we just need to play the game and see if we can get this W.
Well, good luck, Coach. I hope you'll get it tonight. We'll see you at Brethren Arena if you get that one tonight. So best of luck to you. Best of luck to Palma West Fayette. So, Coach, we just wish you the best, and hopefully I'll see you at Breslin in the next few days.
Well, we really hope so, Earl, and thanks for having me on.
Okay, thanks a lot, Coach.
Yep, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's head coach Luke Pohl for Palma West Fayette, and they've got a tough one tonight against Schoolcraft. And I'll tell you, Aaron, we're going to see a lot of good basketball coming up with the boys' quarterfinals from here on out, and that's going to be a good one, playing Schoolcraft, the defending state champions.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a good match. I mean, obviously, you follow prep sports a lot, quite a bit, so you know more about it than me, but it sounds like from the interviews we've had today, it's going to be a heck of a game, so I guess we'll see who comes out the winner.
Yes, it should be a good game tonight, and we got the Class A game with Okemos, and then also the Class B game again with the Lansing Sexton. So three good teams left in the Mid-Michigan area, all in the quarterfinals, and hopefully they'll all advance to Breslin Arena, which is what they all want to get to, and then to get a chance for that coveted state championship trophy. So we got three teams in it, and I'll tell you, it's pretty unique when you get three teams from the same area all competing for a chance to win a state championship. Doesn't happen that often. Most years since I've been here, you might get one team or two teams in, but very rarely do you get three teams in there vying for a state championship.
Yeah, which is good to see. I mean, that's I think we've talked about it quite a bit today on the show. I mean, the area has a lot of good players. You know, teams come together, a lot of great coaches to put those teams together too. So, I mean, that's important to recognize. And, yeah, you're right. It's usually – sometimes it's only one or two teams, but to have three teams, you know, trying to get to the Breslin is a great thing to have around this area. And, you know, so hopefully it continues in the future.
Yes, some years we haven't had any teams, of course, and which hasn't made Mid-Michigan look too good. But this year it's been a very special year, and we have to tip our hat off to all the teams that are in it. I'm going tonight to see the Okemos game, Okemos and Rockford in Class A, and see what Okemos has got a tough battle with Rockford, who's a pretty good team, and they will battle Okemos, and Okemos will battle them to the end. But that's a Class A game. It should be a very, very good team. I mean, a very, very good game coming up. So I'll be over there watching Okemos playing Rockford tonight. It should be a good one there, Aaron.
Yeah, and Okemos obviously being just down the road from us here, WKAR. But you know, that's good to see. You always root for your local teams. You know, there's a lot of teams around here that are, these towns are so close to each other. So it's great to see. It's not like we're one town, the next town over is 50 miles away or something, that we're out in the middle of nowhere. So, you know, it's great. A lot of local people can cheer for these teams, and a lot of people can get to these games, which is even better that, you know, there's a lot of teams here, which a lot of people are able to get out and see and how much talent there actually is out there.
Yes, and I've been pretty pleased with the crowds at the high school games I've gone to this year. I've gone basically to a lot of teams in the Mid-Michigan area, and we've gotten pretty good crowds for the most part. Some games haven't been that great for the most part, though. The fans are pretty, pretty respective and go out and supporting their local area teams. I always say, just go out and watch a local area high school game. It doesn't cost much money to go to a high school game, and you could go in and support some very talented young men, and it's always good. So if you're a resident, that's even if you just live close to the school where they're playing at, just go on over to the school and watch the game. You'd see a good high school game. It doesn't cost you much, and that's always good. Now it's Lansing Eastern tonight, so you can just go over to Lansing Eastern and watch a good high school basketball game. Two good teams in the Mid-Michigan area, or several teams in the area. We might have all three, might have one. We might not have any get to a Breslin Arena. I guess that's the magic of high school basketball. I mean, all of us right now are saying, almost have said, as you heard with Tom Markowski, it's probably going to be a slam dunk for Sexton to make it to Breslin to win their second state championship. But I always remember it, and sometimes that makes me a little apprehensive. That other team, they want to win just as bad as your team does, and any team will give them a dogfight for a long time. But Sexton is really, really unique, and they've got such a good team. And Okemos is a team that has come on in the last few weeks and have really gotten stronger over the years. So we've got some unique teams in the Mid-Michigan area, and I think all three of them couldn't make it there. Maybe all three of them can, but we certainly got three very good teams here.
Yeah, for sure, and that's what you want to see. And it's even better when you know you have a lot of good teams, and a lot of these players, maybe not a lot, but I'm sure we know of several that are going to go play Division I basketball after high school, and then a lot of them, if they wish to do so, might play Division II or maybe even Division III, which is even better. Really goes to prove the talent around here, which is what you want to see, and Hopefully they all get a chance to play at the Breslin, because that's a very special place to play.
It is, and with the boys' state finals coming up, yes, we're going to see a lot of very good players, and with a chance to win the state championship. Well, as we know, as I mentioned earlier, Peyton Manning is signed with the Denver Broncos, and the Steeler for Life, Hines Ward, has reported retired. We haven't mentioned, Miguel Cabrera, who got hit in the eye yesterday from that vicious ground ball. But they said he's going to be out only for a couple of weeks, so he should be back playing in a couple of weeks. And anyone would have gotten hit with that ball. I know they were asked, could he have gotten up on it? And Leland was asked, could he have stopped it? And, because he just knew the position. And he said, no. That would have caught anybody. It was such a one-hop line drive that came up on him, and that caught him. So, anyone would have caught that, even no matter how good he is, how quick he is, that's such a quick turnaround, especially their third base. The ball gets to you so quickly, and it takes you really have to be extremely, even exceptional, to stop a ball like that one.
Yeah, for sure. And it just so happens that he was at the right height, at the right position, at the right time, where he hit him right in the eye. I mean, Inge is obviously shorter, so it probably may have went over. If Inge was playing third or something, it may have went over his head or something like that. But that I saw the video earlier. That thing was a rocket towards third base. And like you said, that was just a one hopper. And I honestly think that probably very few, if any, third basemen could have grabbed that.
Oh, yes, I believe that for sure. Well, hey, we want to thank everybody for calling today. Thank you all for listening. And we invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR in East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons call us up, talk sports with us right here on AMA 70, or send us an email. We're just glad to hear from you. Anyway, and remember, you can read some of WKAR's things on Facebook. You can do that as well. Once again, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. I invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AMA 70 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a safe and pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.